Good morning. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. I have the distinct pleasure of telling you that tomorrow morning, during our fundraiser, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, Dave Creer and I will be hosting, live in the studio, Laura Erickson. You know her from her wonderful program, Speaking for the Birds. I have been a fan of Laura Erickson's for a long time, ever since I heard her broadcast. I love how she does it. I love what she says. So be sure to tune in tomorrow at 8 o'clock with Laura Erickson. And so to honor her and to make a broader introduction to her, Laura is a prolific writer and author. She's written at least 16 books. All of them are available on her website for sale, but also you can read them online. She's making them available to read all of her books online. Her website's easy to remember, lauraerickson.com. Some of the book titles, 100 Plants to Feed the Birds, Field Guide to the Birds of Minnesota, Identifying Birds of Prey, Into the Nest, Intimate Views of the Courting, Parenting, and Family Lives of Birds, Birds of North America Pocket Guide, National Geographic Pocket Guide, Hawk Ridge, Minnesota Birds of Prey. I hope you've heard me talking about Hawk Ridge and encouraging you to drive up to Duluth, Minnesota, where the migration is so incredibly wonderful, in September especially, but all fall. And Laura lives right beneath the ridge where people gather. She's written a book called The Curious Adventures of Max the Maggot, 12 Owls, The Bird Watching Answer Book, Everything You Need to Know to Enjoy Birds in Your Backyard and Beyond, Good Birders Don't Wear White, 50 Tips from North America's Top Birders, Sharing the Wonder of Birds with Kids, for any parents or teachers out there. 101 Ways to Help Birds. That's the one that I'm going to quote from today. I'm going to quote from the introduction. She says, "Birds are an essential part of our lives, history, and culture. In my own life, wild birds have provided a refuge from childhood terrors and adult pressures, to say nothing of delight and fun. They've provided intellectual pleasure, giving me insight into the sciences of taxonomy, ecology, ethology, physiology, and anatomy, as well as geography, history, art, literature, and entomology. Birds have given me, an avid birder, an outlet for my classifying, listing, and organizing side, yet they've also given me aesthetic and sentimental joys. In other words, they've given me infinite riches for my human heart, soul, mind, and spirit. But I'm far from the only human being whose life has been enriched by birds. Thomas Jefferson loved birds, mentioning them in detail in his correspondence and his notes on the state of Virginia. He specifically charged Lewis and Clark with studying and collecting as many birds as possible on their expedition. Henry David Thoreau and Emily Dickinson fed their backyard birds. Franklin Roosevelt found solace in a birding excursion one morning during spring migration. Even the Bible makes mention of birds. In Genesis, Noah sent out a dove to see if the waters had receded after the flood. When the dove brought back an olive branch, Noah was assured that never again would God visit such a flood on the earth. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 6, Jesus said, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pence, and not one of them is forgotten in the sight of God?" One woman told me about her husband who had suffered a stroke, leaving his arms and legs paralyzed. He became discouraged and clinically depressed. The only thing that lightened his spirits was seeing his backyard birds. My friend would push him in his wheelchair out on their deck, where he'd sit for hours, entertained by the birds. He had poor eyesight, so to bring them in closer, she began putting mealworms into his paralyzed hands. wrens, nuthatches, and chickadees quickly started coming to him for treats, and a month later, the very first sensation he felt was a chickadee alighting on his finger. Early on the day after September 11, 2001, when the entire nation was grieving and in shock, and people in the airline industry were particularly hard hit from losing so many of their own, my phone rang and the caller identified himself as the manager of an airline maintenance base. His voice was shaking as he asked, "Are you the Laura Erickson who takes care of birds?" I'd let my bird rehabilitation license expire a few years earlier, but I was too numb and confused to explain, so I just answered yes. He told me that a group of people had rescued an injured pigeon being attacked by crows in the parking lot. He said, "I know a lot of people don't think much of pigeons, but can you please come and help?" When I arrived, several men and women stood around the box containing the pigeon, their eyes filled with sadness and hope. Over a bird? The day before, those gleaming twin towers in New York City had collapsed before the entire nation's eyes, and thousands of human beings were suddenly dead. These people at the maintenance base had watched their TVs like we all did, powerless to do anything. Now one little pigeon needed help, and suddenly there was something they could do to make the world a little less cruel and unfathomable. As the producer of a radio program, I've received hundreds of phone calls and letters from people telling me their own personal stories about birds. I've heard from hunters who've had lovely or fascinating bird encounters while sitting in their deer stands, and a man in northern Canada called to tell me about his wife's battle with cancer. The thing that got her out of bed every morning in those final months was the thought of seeing the chickadees at their feeders. Anne Frank wrote in her diary from her dark hiding place, "The best remedy for those who are afraid, lonely, or unhappy is to go outside, somewhere where they can be quiet, alone with the heavens, nature, and God. Because only then does one feel that all is as it should be and that God wishes to see people happy amidst the simple beauty of nature. As long as this exists, and it certainly always will, I know that then there will always be comfort for every sorrow, whatever the circumstances may be, and I firmly believe that nature brings solace in all troubles." Unquote. Helping birds helps human beings. And that's part of her introduction to her book, 101 Ways to Help Birds. And at the end of this book, I will read a little bit of her closing. And this is Laura Erickson. "When I started writing this book in 2003, I knew that I faced a daunting task. I'd been working on conservation issues for many years and knew how many perils birds face in the world today. But as I researched, I learned more about the sheer magnitude of problems that I was already aware of. 50 million birds a year at TV towers, 1 billion birds a year at windows, and I discovered perils that I'd never imagined, large and small, from the dangers of fences for prairie chickens to the toxicity of pennies in ponds. How could I not feel discouraged? Like the children in Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat, birds face a mess that is so big and so deep and so tall that there seems no realistic way to solve it, no way at all. Before we were even a nation, we worked together in a concerted effort to defeat the most powerful empire on earth and win our independence. Remembering that the only thing we had to fear was fear itself, we made enormous personal and collective sacrifices and survived the Depression, destroyed Nazism, and defeated the nation that had attacked Pearl Harbor. When we set our collective minds and hearts to it, we traveled to the moon, walked on it, and even hit a couple of golf balls up there. Now, if we continue to take steps backward rather than toward clean air and water and energy, if we slide away from protecting the resources that belong to every single one of us, and if we abandon the natural habitat that sustains us and that is our rightful heritage, it will not be because we can't make things better. it will be because we choose not to. In the real world, there is no magical cat who will ride in and clean up our messes for us. I have a few friends who deeply and truly believe that God will step in and save the day, but I grew up hearing that the Lord helps those who help themselves, and I can't forget that God charged Noah with saving every species. This mess is our responsibility, individually and collectively. What is the solution? You and I are. And that's the last part of Laura's book, 101 Ways to Help Birds. I was going through the 101 Ways to Help Birds, and always on lists like this is to keep birds from colliding with windows. And this is one that I take probably the most deeply to heart, because there are so many things that we have no control over, we can't do a thing about. But this is one we can all make a difference. And if I could, I would get on my knees and beg all of you to please, please make your windows safe for birds. I've had people tell me that, only one or two birds hit my windows. That's too many right there. And you don't know that maybe when you were gone for a vacation or out for the evening, a bird has hit your window that you'll never be aware of. Often birds are severely injured, even though they look like they fly away and they're okay. They can have hematomas, their brains can swell, and all kinds of things can happen to a bird that's had that kind of trauma. And so I beg you to look at Laura's page about how to help birds keep from colliding with windows. There's all kinds of suggestions there. My windows on my house are covered with netting, and there are no window strikes here. I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't bear it if we had birds hitting our windows, and frankly, I don't know how anybody can live with themselves knowing that there's a possibility of birds hitting their windows. I will get off my high horse, and thank you so much for listening, and I hope you will tune in tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock for a fun hour during our big fundraising day at WDRT, one day only. So please tune in, and we're going to have a good time. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you so much for listening.